One item on the list, tax credits for purchasing electric vehicles. There's a problem. No cars exist to qualify for the credits. Remember we talked about that $7,500 credit? I said, well, it could be fleeting. No pun intended when it comes to cars. Currently, new electric vehicles, either hybrid or all electric, qualify for a rebate of up to $7,500, limited to 200,000 rebates per manufacturer. Tesla and General Motors have hit the cap and no longer qualify.
What? I'm going to get a Tesla and we're going to get $7,500 cash back. Where's my money, you sons of bitches?
A real cement head.
The new bill removes the cap, and it also introduces a $4,000 credit that can be applied to used electric vehicles. Used electric vehicles. The used electric vehicles I've seen are sitting in a fucking junkyard. They no longer move. There's no such thing as a used electric vehicle. They run out of battery. We've had other folks on here complaining about it who bought used electric vehicles, and they just stop fucking running, and you can't replace the battery. They didn't tell you that, did they? At the school of wokeness. It all sounds like dandy, fine and dandy, except the bill also puts restrictions on which electric vehicles can qualify. Starting in 2024, an electric vehicle that qualifies for the full rebate amount must score at least 40% of its battery's components, including minerals such as lithium, cobalt, and graphite from either the U.S. or a country with which the U.S. has a trade agreement. Oh, that's interesting. So not China. It's kind of a problem.
I want my rebate.
You're not going to get a fucking rebate. You got played. You dopes, you woke dopes. They wave some fake money in front of you, some Monopoly money, and you go fucking nuts. Also, if you want your rebate, no minerals can be sourced from a foreign entity of concern, such as China. You can thank Joe Manchin for that. Well, good luck getting your fucking rebate. Oh, by the way, 60% to 80% of electric vehicle batteries, the mineral ingredients that comprise such and make these things run, these fucking Flintstone mobiles, make them go. 60 to 80% of the battery's mineral ingredients are controlled by China. There goes your rebate. They give you a $50,000 rebate. You ain't going to get it.
But Mayor Pete said I would get a rebate. And Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete.
Fucking Schwinn Armstrong. It's full of shit like the rest of them. Oh, don't worry, though.
I'll get a lithium battery that comes from the United States.
8% of the lithium batteries in electric vehicles come from the United States, so you're going to be waiting a long time for that rebate. There's not enough lithium for all these electric vehicles. I forgot to tell you that, too, but don't worry about it. You'll get your rebate. You're not going to get dick playing it. So, well, you might.
We had some references from Mayor Pete.
Huh? Be careful what we say around here. Get in trouble. But they didn't tell you about the mileage taxes either, did they? Smells like smells like a bait and switch, except the switch on your electric car might not work because you don't have a battery, especially a used one. Electric vehicle owners are facing a privacy-jolting mileage tax that nobody seemed to tell you about. A little strange magic? Electric vehicle style? Environmental impact of electric cars may still be unknown, but leaders are growing concerned about the threat they pose to the financing of the nation's highway system because freeways and bridges are funded in large part through federal and state taxes on gasoline and diesel fuel. The battery-powered future will test whether roads can just be paved with good intentions. This is the woke crowd. You're going to save the earth, and the rest of us are going to have to pay for your fucking road taxes? I don't think so. The feds and the states will not miss out on soaking you, tree huggers. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are trying to devise new schemes to raise fuel tax revenue, which in fiscal 2020 delivered $35 billion with a B to the federal government and an additional $51 billion with a B to the state and local governments. But experts say that proposed fixes to the anticipated highway funding shortfall involving charging drivers for the miles they travel by tracking their movement pose significant threat to personal privacy and liberty. But in an electric vehicle, they know everywhere you go because you're connected to said grid. And, of course, your car makers are going to implement a large range of high-tech means to keep access where you are.
But, oh, it's not us. It's third party. Yeah, it's devices that are put on by third party. It's not us. We're not keeping track yet. It's third parties.
And your car insurance is... companies are going to love that too. Location data, that is information about where people are and where they've been, they're going to have access to it all. For you cats out tomcatting around, you better watch out. They're going to know it all. Of course, they know it all with your phone anyhow, but the phone's different from your car. Of course, they'll be able to track what church you go to, who you're hanging out with, what medical procedures you might be having. It's all in the name of hugging trees and being one with the environment. So what's going to happen? Well, your data is going to be for sale. I'll tell you that right now. As a former information broker, these people are going to sell your data. An Infrastructure Act authorizes a pilot program to test collecting the personal information needed to charge drivers for their use of roads and highways. Of course, it doesn't really answer how you protect the data because they have no fucking intention of protecting your data because they're going to sell it. Now, VM and I talked to VM today, a fantastic conversation with him. I know people are saying, when's he coming back on the show? He'll be back. We talked about this when we were on the road, the Thomas Paine Podcast Caravan across the country. This was one of the pushes toward electric vehicles. So they know exactly how far you drive and they can fucking wallop you. Whether it's state, federal, local, fuel taxes. And also to monitor drivers, just like they want to monitor your bank accounts, digital currency, etc. Keep track of your destinations so they know where to find you, know where you go, and can either sell you ads on your way there. Oh, I see you're passing a shopping center. You're passing a mall. Well, here's a little coupon. You don't understand how these... That's the least your worry is getting a fucking coupon. But Nick, make no mistake, folks. You're going to pay... And your electric vehicles, you think you're going to get out of paying taxes? Oh, wrong. They've been working on this form of taxation for well over 10 years, so don't think, well, it'll take them a while to catch up. No, no, no. Not when it comes to stealing your money, taking your money. It's not going to take them any time to catch up. And all you dopes who signed up for Easy Pass ought to take a lesson.
But we don't have to slow down and pay.
Oh, okay. They know where you're going. They know where you're driving. And they got years of your records. to figure you out. You thought it was just for your convenience, right? I still haven't signed up for Easy Pass. Not going to do it, by the way. Amazon is expanding its surveillance capabilities. $1.7 billion iRobot deal includes interior maps of millions of your homes. Hey, you gave them access, man. That story's on pain.tv. iRobot accepted Amazon's $1.7 billion offer to purchase the robot vacuum company. If the deal goes through, pending shareholder and regulatory approval, the technology giant will receive a plethora of personal data, including the floor plans of millions of users' homes. I'm sure Bezos won't do anything nefarious with that type of information. In 2021, iRobot reported that over 40 million Roombas have been sold worldwide since the release of its first model in 2002, the small automated vacuum uses sensors to map out each room in a home. The Federal Trade Commission approves the deal. This stored personal data and the maps of your homes and rooms will be handed over to Amazon. The company has yet to comment on how it plans to use the data. I'm sure they'll be happy to share it with the feds, so the next time they raid your house, they know exactly where they're going. Anyway, just one use pops into mind. I don't know. Potentially usage based on recent current events. A lot of talking today. Red states engage. That fucking story is on pain.tv if you want to read about it. You should know that they're going to get more data on you. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Technology.
It's making my life so easy.
Mm-hmm. Making a lot of people rich, too. Not you. Red states engage in an all-out assault on woke banks. We're not going to pay for our own destruction. I like this. We had this last week. We had West Virginia State Treasurer Riley Moore talking about this. Talk about putting out a warning to states like BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase. And so this is old hat on here, but we'll cover it a little bit. Energy producing states in America are fighting back against banks that are lining up against the economic lifeblood. As major banks are supporting anti-fossil fuel policies and so-called environmental, social, and governance, ESG standards, states such as West Virginia are refusing to do business with them. We had Riley Moore on the show last week, a clip of him. He's the treasurer of West Virginia, seems to be leading the charge on this. West Virginia has put five financial firms that we just mentioned into timeout, barring state agencies from doing business with them because the banks are called for limiting their connections to the fossil fuel industry, a sector that paid $769 million in West Virginia state taxes. Moore said the state is fighting fire with fire. Quote, they have weaponized our tax dollars against the very people and industry that have generated them to begin with. That is why we're pushing back against this ESG movement, he said, noting that U.S. Bancorp changed its tune of any such ban, stayed off the banned bank list, and we talked about this last week, and this is a recap. Of course, it's funny, and there's another story that Young Bucks put here on the end. And we're just going to bypass because it says, you ready for this one? Maria Albanese will get a kick out of this. I just discovered the depth of miseducation of America. There was this guy, Robert Mars, and he had quite a career during the American Revolution, including hiring Thomas Paine to help unite the colonies. But basically, he used the power of economic freedom to win the war, while the slave power barked at his heels and the British Empire banged on the door. The book I'm talking about proves that America wasn't founded on slavery, but on economic freedom. The New York Times might not like that, but this book, Robert Morris, Inside the Revolution, has over 2,000 endnotes to prove it. Now we can learn how Mars championed free markets in the face of shortages. When hyperinflation hit, Mars supported a silver-based currency. He ran an international spy network, and he smuggled tea and weapons. He set the course of America's foreign relations in a way that lasted 70 years. He ran the Continental Navy, and he had an interest in 250 privateer vessels. And he didn't just take his winnings home. One year, he personally put up more for the war than all the states combined. He coordinated the French fleet and Washington's arrival at Yorktown. He got rid of religious test laws and signed all three founding documents. Later, he lost his fortune with bad real estate investments. When his political opposites, the slave power, won the election of 1800, they focused on their futures, not his past successes. Instead, if they mentioned him at all, they cast him as a bankrupt. Read all about this and more in Robert Morris, Inside the Revolution. It's available online, your favorite online bookstores. Also, for listeners of the Thomas Paine podcast, you can go to paine.tv/Morris directly for a link for the book. That's paine.tv/Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S. If you've been listening to our Friday shows for years, plural now, what is ESG? Now everybody is talking about ESG.
Tucker was talking about ESG. My God, I never heard of it.
Tucker's late again. Maria has been spearheading ESG, what it is, how it's a leveraging tool for the woke communist takeover, how it's the bread and butter of
Klaus Schwab, yeah, and the World Economic Forum.
This has gone on for years on here. I mean, to read this and recap this story, you're free to do it on Paine.tv. It would be insulting. We've covered so much of it. But now it's in the mainstream. Again, in many cases where it's too late. In other words, these people start publishing these things and start broadcasting these things when the coast is clear. Klaus over in his fucking lederhosen. In Europe, he blows the Rickle horn. Rickle! And everybody's free to come out and talk about what ESG is and how it's fucking nefarious and how it's been built up over X amount of years. And what it means to you. We were talking about this forever on here. It's just like old hat. Maria's talked about how it was originally coined by the United Nations and how it's been taken under the wing of the World Economic Forum. Of course, ESG is about money. It's about influence. It's about loans. It's about banks. It's about cash. It's about control. Stakeholder capitalism. Talked about that with Klaus Schwab. So many different times. Well, now it's mainstream, folks, so you can read about it anywhere. You know what that is to me? It's boring. It's pedestrian. It's good to be out in front of these things. If you read The Catcher in the Rye 10 times, you're not going to read it 11. If we talk about ESG 150 times, I'm not going to talk about it just because some other fucking publication finally got around to writing about it, telling you about it. Because, again, Klaus blew the fucking record. And that'd be the only thing he blew. Anyway, this is the family show. For fuck's sake, I told you guys that before. And ESG will continue to be something we talk about. But we'll talk about it on our terms. And we're not going to go back to romper room status. ESG 101. We're on ESG, the graduate fucking course. We're on ESG PhD candidate at this point. We talked about going woke, what ESG meant a long time ago. And I give the majority of credit on that to Marie Albanese. She's done fantastic yeoman's work on here. She'll be back on Friday, I think, as well. Her schedule is loaded up based on last week's content of Friday show. If you listen to it, you understand where she's at. She has her hands full. So we'll see how it plays out. But we are going to rock and roll up till that point and through that point, no matter what happens. Hot Wire coming here right after this sucker. I'll have to dust off the voice, get some more tea, so to speak. Perhaps a little bit more water, and then we'll tackle a Hot Wire. And then we'll have another one tomorrow as we drill down and try to give you guys some tools that you may need out there to help circumvent these criminals. Plain and simple. Now, what are we doing? Folks on Payne.tv, appreciate it. Your patronage. The folks on the Thomas Paine podcast, likewise. We couldn't keep the lights on, and we wouldn't be doing this without you, and we would not be able to drill down on these things on Hot Wire, etc., without you folks. So we owe you gratitude for your patronage and your continued time and time again on a daily basis coming here and listening and trusting us to tell you the truth. It makes me all warm and fuzzy. If you haven't stuck your head in here to Payne.tv and the Payne.tv app, something I think that you'll find discreetly beneficial to you. As our community is fantastic. Like, my wife was on the site today and said, hey, there's like people on here talking about gardening and canning, and they have all these groups. I said, yeah, they do. So she's engaged in that. And she says, these people really know what they're talking about. I said, well, there's about 100 groups on the site, and many folks are hardcore with the intel that they're offering, and it is fantastic. And it's a fantastic community, and it's good to be part of a community of like-minded people and have the ability to talk freely without being skewered or threatened. So we appreciate the site and the folks, the social media portion, and the groups and everything. A grand slam all the way through. Plain and simple. Far better than I had anticipated. And we're still growing, and the sky's the limit. As we listen to a little Blue Sky from the Allman Brothers, it's all Blue Sky on Payne.tv and the social media portion of that. Now, speaking of blue skies, if you think that this podcast can benefit, or this benefit can podcast, however you want to phrase it. What are we about? 35,000 words so far tonight. If you know somebody out there who can benefit from this and the things we talk about and the trapdoors we try to avoid and the bear traps and the pitfalls and the haunted houses we try to steer clear of, and keep focused on things that matter in your life. Now, there are things that are entertaining about, you know, reading about a FBI warrant, etc. It's entertaining. But how does that benefit you? In other words, like, time is limited here. Competing for a lot of different things, and time is one of them. So we want to make sure we keep it real on here. But if you think that this can benefit somebody you care about, etc., please share the Thomas Paine podcast with them. That's how we grow, word of mouth. Folks coming back and folks telling other people what we do here, our track record, etc., and our steadfast commitment to just giving you the straight skinny on what's going on. There's no time for anything else. There really isn't. And we appreciate you folks for being here. Got a Hot Wire coming tonight, Hot Wire coming tomorrow. Other stuff happening this week. Stick around. Back here tomorrow. Take care and God bless you. We got videos after this. We got Dr. Vernon Coleman and a couple other videos. I forgot to tell you. But you knew that. I get to tell you, take care and God bless again. Win-win. Winning. Win-win.
It's August 2022, and this is video number 316. In November 2020, over 18 months ago, in a video entitled How They Plan to Bankrupt Us All, I warned that inflation was going to soar and that interest rates would rise dramatically. I repeated the warning in my book Endgame in March 2021, and then again in a book called Social Credit Nightmare on Your Street, which was published in June. How did I know what was going to happen? Because it was clearly part of their plan. It was predictable and it was inevitable. I've been predicting a recession since the start of this year, even though most other commentators said it wasn't going to happen. And I warned that it's going to be far worse than a recession. A big depression is coming. I know people hate hearing gloomy news and forecasts, but I'm not going to lie to you. If you want lies and misinformation, just turn on the BBC. What we're about to experience will be far, far worse than anything that happened in the 1930s. Everywhere you look, there's evidence showing just how fast the conspirators are making progress. And nowhere is it faster than in the destruction of the global economy. Natural gas prices have gone up 700% since the start of 2021. They were merely made worse by the designer war. During the first few months of 2022, the world stock market lost $13 trillion. You may not think that matters to you, but unless you live in a cave, it does. The Japanese yen has plunged 15.5%. The Nasdaq composite had fallen by nearly 30%, the worst half year on record since it began, worse than when the dot-com bubble burst. And the Russian ruble's been getting steadily stronger, while the UK pound has been getting steadily weaker. This isn't going to be just a recession. Bad as that is, we're heading for a full-scale depression. No one alive's ever seen anything like it, since there's never been anything like it. We're already starting the recession. The next stop will be stagflation and then the depression. And as governments and international bodies such as the World Bank and the IMF take ever more power, as they do during a depression, the loss of freedom will be exacerbated. Listen to this. We were the first to assert that the more complicated the forms of civilization, the more restricted the freedom of the individual must become. Close quotes. Do you know who said that? A certain Mr. Mussolini. And here's Hayek on the perils of socialism. Quote, although we had been warned by some of the greatest political thinkers of the 19th century, by de Tocqueville and Lord Acton, that socialism means slavery, we have steadily moved in the direction of socialism. And now that we've seen a new form of slavery arise before our eyes, we have so completely forgotten the warning that it scarcely occurs to us that the two things may be connected. And Hayek reminds us that Hilaire Belloc in The Servile State, which was published in 1913, explained that the effect of socialist doctrine on capitalist society is to produce a third thing different from either of its two begetters, to wit, the servile state.